Okay, good morning, everyone. Pleasure, as always, to spend some time learning together. Parshas Toldos, what I wanted to learn together with you is the middle of the bookends of this week's Parsha. There are two very, very famous stories in the Parsha. Parshas Toldos, of course, begins with the birth of Yaakov and Esav. It's actually a very packed first Aliyah, in which we are told not only of how Yitzchak and Rivka were not able to have children, and how they davened to be able to have, and then she has a difficult labor, and then she's told she's going to have twins, and they're going to become two great nations, and then, of course, the story of their birth, how Yaakov's holding on to Esav's heel, and they go off in separate ways, and then Yaakov sells the birthright. It's a packed first series, and in the first 15 psukim, there's a lot that goes on, and that's obviously a very popular destination for Chumash Shiurim, because there's so much to discuss about that. And then the end of the parsha, after Yaakov and Esav in the beginning grow up and they sell the birthright, then we have the blessing that Yitzchak desires to give to his eldest son, to Esav. And then that whole story, in which the Torah tells a great length, in which Rivka understands what's going on, and she calls in Yaakov and says, you need to take the bracha, dress up in Esav's clothes, and Yaakov doesn't want to, and she convinces him to do it. And then the whole story, as it plays itself out, how Yaakov goes in and pretends to be Esav and basically steals the bracha, and then how when Esav finds out, and he, of course, is filled with rage, and that sends Yaakov out of town to his uncle Lavan's house, which is where next week's parsha. So those are the two very, very famous stories, the beginning, their birth, and the selling of the birthright, and then the end is the actual blessing that's given, and that whole story. In between those two very famous stories is a less famous story in which Yitzchak has to leave home because of a famine. The entire perek is probably about 30 psukim long. There's a episode between him and Avimelech, who is the king of the Plishtim, which is an area in the land of Israel. There's much to be learned from there also. And that's actually the part that I'd like to focus on this morning. It's Perek Chavav. I'm going to screen share in a moment for those of you who do not have a Chumash in front of you, so you can follow along at least the text of the Chumash. And what I'd like to do, it's going to be hard to cover all 30 psukim in the time that we have, but we'll at least try not reading them all inside, but to cover the ideas of these psukim. The Ramban, in two separate instances within these three psukim, brings in the idea of Ma'ase Avos Siman Labanim, that which happens to the Avos, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, portends a future of that which is going to happen to us later. And he sees within these instances two very specific episodes of them. And besides for those two, the entire story is filled with other lessons of Ma'ase Avos Siman Labanim. So let's go through them in order to pick out the two things that the Ramban highlights, and along the way, we'll highlight a number of other things as well, as best we can, in the time that we have through this episode. So let me give you first the Psukim. There you have them in front of you. If you have a Chumash, again, we're in Perek Chaf Vav, the 26th chapter of Sefer Bereishis, beginning with Parshas Toldos in the middle over here. Torah begins as follows: Vayirav ba'aretz milvad ha'ra'av ha'rishon asher haya b'imei Avraham. So the Torah sets up the scenario that there was a famine. And what's of note, as the Ramban points out, the Torah highlights it was a famine. This is different than the famine that was in the days of Avram. Now, Avram's famine that he experienced, which we read about in Parshas Lach Lecha a couple weeks ago, was over 65, 70 years ago. We know that that famine first took place when Avram arrives in the land, and he's 75, his wife Sarah is 65. We know that she dies at 127. Since then, Yitzchak has gotten married and had two children. That first famine of Avram was easily 65, 70 years prior. And the Torah describes that there was a famine again in the land, different than the famine that was in the days of Avram. Vayelech Yitzchak, and Yitzchak therefore goes to Avimelech, who was the king of Plishtim, in a place called Gerar. So the Ramban points out a couple of things as we begin our story. Number one, that famine that took place in the days of Avram was clearly a known thing. It was things people still spoke about it as this massive famine that affected the land. And as the Ramban notes, it led to Avraham leaving and coming back with great wealth. When he arrived in the land of Canaan, he was a nomad. He just arrived penniless. He had left everything behind. He leaves because of the famine. But when he shows up again from Mitzrayim, he came back with great wealth. And that was a known thing in the land, that was a game changer, so to speak, in the life of Avraham Avinu. And now Yitzchak, his son, experiences a similar famine. What does he do? He goes to Avimelech. The Torah actually says he went to Avimelech. Who was Avimelech, this king of Plishtim? So the Ramban discusses either it was the same king or the son of the king that Avram had also made a peace treaty with in a previous parak, previous parsha that we had learned about. And Yitzchak seems to say, like, this would be a good place to go. We have a peace treaty already between my family and between Avimelech, and he'll help take care of me during the time of the famine. The next three psukim we have to see all together, Hashem appears to Yitzchak as he goes to Avimelech in Gerar. Vayeralav Hashem, and he says to him, Al tered Mitzrayim. Don't go down to Mitzrayim. Stay here in the land. Now, before we see the rest of the prophecy, by definition, if you tell somebody, don't do something, obviously it seems like Yitzchak was about to. Why does he need to be told not to go down to Mitzrayim? So it sounds like, as Ramban and Rashi both note, he went to Avimelech just temporarily, that he was on his way down to Mitzrayim. He stops off in the land of the Plishtim with this king Avimelech, but he was planning on going down to Mitzrayim. Why was he planning on going down to Mitzrayim? Because, as Rashi and Ramban both note, that's what his Tati did. That's what Avram Avinu did, is he went down to Mitzrayim when there was a famine. So Yitzchak assumed, I should do the same thing as my father. And Hashem says to him, and says, no, don't go down to Mitzrayim, you need to stay here. As both Rashi and Ramban note, you are an Ola Tamima. You were brought as a korban. You were brought as an offering at the end of Parshas Vayera at the Akedah. Avram was told to bring his son, and he did. And that was a status changer. When Yitzchak was placed on the Mizbeach, and Avram Avinu lifts up the knife, ready to bring him as an offering, even though the Malach calls out from Shemayim and stops him, Yitzchak had a status like a karban. In the same way as when the Beis HaMikdash would eventually be built and a karban is designated, it has a certain status. You can't just do anything with it. You can't take it anywhere. It has to be treated with that level of Kedusha. Yitzchak is now given that status, and he cannot leave the land of Israel, and therefore Hashem says to him, I know you want to go down to Mitzrayim like your father did, you're different, stay here. Now, again, this is not the Ramban's point of Maisa of a similar bundle, but just as a lesson to us, it's a very interesting dynamic what takes place. Yitzchak is in a bind. He has a problem, there's a famine, he can't eat, what is he supposed to do? What's his first thought? Do what my Abba did. That's the gut reaction. What do you? I don't know what to do. I'm not really sure. The starting point is I do what my father did. That's how we act. I do it until Hashem says you're different. Yes, it worked for your father. It's not going to work for you. And in that is I think a great little lesson, just as a starting point, a springboard for what we're going to be discussing of. There's a default position that we have, that we learn from the Avos, from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When I'm not sure what to do, I do what my father did. I do what my parents, I do what the previous generations, I stay to that. And there are times, in Yitzchak's case, Hashem himself comes and says, you're different. You need to act differently. You have a different circumstance. You can't do what was done before. You need to change that. And it's a great life lesson of the default position is, I do what they did before me. And sometimes I need to come to the recognition, we don't have the benefit of having a Shem or a prophet tell us that, to look around and say, okay, that would have been my default position to start there. Sometimes life changes, circumstances changes, generations change, and what worked for my father is not going to work for me and I have to be different. But that was his gut reaction. His starting point was to do like that. Hashem then continues moving on. Gur Baritz Hazos, stay here, I'll be with you, I'll bless you. Ki l'chol u'zarecha tenes kol ha'aretzos ha'el. I've given you all of these lands to you and to your children. V'hakimosias ha'shvua asher nishbosi l'avraham avicha. And I'm going to uphold or fulfill the oath that I swore to Avraham, which is v'hirbesi as zaro. I'm going to make your children numerous. I'll give your children all of these lands. Every nation will bless their children through you, saying you should be like Avram, you should be like Yitzchak, you should be like Yaakov. And that's because Asher Shama Avram Bekoli, Avram kept all of my teachings and my commands. That's the three pasuk prophecy that Hashem comes to Yitzchak with, basically saying, you're not going down to Mitzrayim, stay here, I will bless you here, I will fulfill the oath that I gave to Avram. The Ramban here notes, why does Hashem need to say, I'm going to fulfill the promise? Hashem made a promise to Avram, I don't need him to then say to Yitzchak, don't worry, I'm going to keep the promise that I gave to Avraham. He made a promise to Avraham, it's going to happen. So the Ramban notes two things. Number one, we see that each one of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all received this promise of your children will be numerous and I'm going to give you this land. This is the only place where we actually see it to Yitzchak. It's never mentioned him other than here in the context of I'm going to do to you what I promised Avram, in the sense of this is your promise. It's not, I'm not just saying to you, don't worry, I'm going to fulfill what I did to Avram. These are my words to you. You're getting this promise too. And it's a kavod, the Ramban comments. It's a schus. It's a merit and it's an honor that each one of the avos should be given the promise himself. Not just that it was given once to Avram, but each one of them, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, was worthy on their own of receiving it, does indeed actually receive that on their own. And that's a schus to us, their children, that each one was given, as we see each one of the avos got this particular Shavua. Okay, so what happens then? Vayeshev Yitzchok Bigror. So Yitzchok decides to stay. He had gone to Avimelech, clearly just on his way down to Mitzrayim. Avimelech was a good place for him to go because Avram had had previous interactions with the king of the Plishtim, the king Avimelech. So Yitzchok thought that's a great place to go in the case of famine. He was clearly on his way down to Mitzrayim. He was going to continue on. Hashem appears to him and says, stay here. Here's where I'm going to make you great and fulfill all the blessings. Your children will be numerous on these lands are yours. So Vayeshev Yitzchok Bigrar, so he stays. Okay, this is where I'm going to stay. This is where I'm going to stay. What happens now that he stays? The Torah tells us, we have a couple of stories. Vayisha'alu anshei ha'makom li'ishto. The people of the town begin to ask about his wife. Now, we've seen this story before. This happened to Avram twice. Happens now to Yitzchok as well. The people ask, no, who's the young lady you're with? Now remember, they had two children already at the time. The Ramban says that didn't seem to bother anybody. They would either assume it was from another woman or whatever. And so they just want to know, what's doing with this woman? Vayomer achosihi. So he says, like his father Avram did, again repeating the pattern that he learned from Avram, is my sister. These are some children we're traveling with. But the beautiful woman is my sister. And the Torah tells us, ki yarele morishti. He was afraid to say that she's actually my wife. Pen yaharguni anshei ha'makom al Rivka. People would kill him for his wife because she was of beautiful image, beautiful form, and he was afraid that they would be killed on account of Rivka. So he says, she's my sister. What happens then? So nothing happens, meaning the people of the town don't take her. She's not abducted by Avimelech. Those are the things that happen with Avram. When Avram goes down to Mitzrayim, and Avram goes to Avimelech and says that she's his sister, she's abducted both times. She's actually taken Sarah. Here, nothing happens to Rivka, even though Yitzchak was clearly afraid. Yitzchak says she's my sister, but nothing happens. The Torah then says, Vayiki orchu lo shamayamim, many days pass. And Vayashkef Avimelech Melech Plishim Arachal, and Avimelech looking out the window sees that Yitzchak is mitzachek. He's literally playing with, laughing, behaving in a way that only a husband and wife would behave. And Avimelech sees, many, many, many days ago, you said that she was your sister. And again, nothing happened. She wasn't abducted. But now Avimelech sees, indeed, she's actually your wife. Rashi points out it took many, many days. I know, as often is the case, when you're originally afraid of something, you behave in a certain way, and then as time goes on, you become less afraid. And as you become less afraid, you let your guard down. And as you let your guard down, all of a sudden, you know, you're not as careful. Little plug for wearing masks. You know, you get used to certain things, and then you become, you know, no longer afraid. But the fear, the danger doesn't pass just because it's been many days, and you have to be just as vigilant. Just a small little plug. Let's move on. Anyway, so what happens? So Avimelech figures out that she's actually, they're married. So Vayikra Avimelech li Yitzchak. Avimelech calls to Yitzchak and says, hey, hine yishtuchai. Eicha marta achosihi. How could you say, why did you say that she was only your sister? So Yitzchak says, I was afraid, I might die. Vayomer Avimelech, why did you do this to us? Kimat shachav achad ha'am es yishtecha. It almost happened that one of us, meaning myself, would have taken your wife, thinking that she was only your sister, and then we would have had terrible guilt brought upon us. Now, again, nothing had actually happened, but Abimelech is angry that he put him in a position where they might have taken her. Vayitzav Abimelech has kol ha'am lemor. Very important point. We're going to get back to this. Abimelech then commands the entire nation, saying, Hanogeya be'ish hazeh uve'ishto mos yumas. Anybody who so much as touches this man and his wife will surely die. Now, this is an important point because remember, Yitzchak and Rivka are visitors. They've settled here. And now we have from the king protection. The king himself issues a decree to all of his people, you stay away from these people. You're not allowed to touch them. You're not allowed to impact them in any way. Now that he's given this blessing, what happens next? Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, Yitzchak plants, vayimtza bashano ahi mea she'arim. And he has 100-fold. Vayuvarcheu Hashem, Hashem blesses him. So he's given now protection. What does he do with the government protection that he's given? He plants, and he achieves great wealth. There's an amazing medrash, which I just want to throw in here, a comment, a beautiful, beautiful comment. The medrash says on the fact that Vayizra Yitzchak, the medrash notes that Yitzchak was given a blessing, that Hashem is going to make him great, he's going to give him children, he'll be numerous, and the land will be his, and he becomes very wealthy. How does he become wealthy? He plants. The Medrash says, the Pasuk said, Uverachticha vihirbesi es zaracha, I will bless you and increase your children, using the zaracha, literally means your seed. Dorash Yitzchak, Yitzchak made the following drasha, Ha'ul ve'ein bracha shure ela b'ma'ase yadai. My blessing is only going to come to me through the acts of my hand. I need to do something. In order to have children, you can't just sit on your couch and children fall from storks from heaven. You need to have children, raise children. You have to be involved in that. Yitzchak said, the blessings that Hashem promised me are not blessings where they just fall from heaven. Amad Vizara. See, he planted. He said, I was given a promise of blessings. That doesn't mean I can sit on my couch and I'm going to get blessing. I need to go out and plant. Shenemar Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi Vayinsa Me'a Shar. Medrash, a beautiful medrash. Yitzchak was given a promise of blessing. So what did he do? So he worked. He went out to plant so that Hashem can give him the blessings. He understood the blessings don't just come. You have to do what you need to do in order to be given the blessings. And so Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi. He went out and he planted. First, he needed to make sure that he'd be protected by the government, that he wouldn't lose. And then once he was given his protection, he went out to work. And Hashem indeed fulfilled his promise, and with his handiwork, blessed him 100-fold, and he was very blessed. The Torah then says, not just a little bit blessed, Vayigdal ha'ish, pasuk yid gimel, Vayelach, he became richer and richer, Vigadel ad ki gadol me'od, until he became very wealthy, and then he became too wealthy. Vayilo mikna tzon and mikna bakar, now he had cattle, flocks, Vavudor rabah, many, many servants, Vayikanu oso plishtim. He became so wealthy that now the plishtim began to become jealous. The Ramban points out, the Torah highlights, what was it about his wealth that became a source of the thorn in the side of the plishtim? He had mikne tzon umikne bakar ve'avudot rabah, cattle, flock, and servants. What's missing from the list when you describe somebody as having great wealth, which we find elsewhere in the Torah? What's not described? Kesef v'zov, having money. He's not described as having money as being wealthy. This wealth is specifically a tangible, visible tzon, bakar, and servant. Says the Ramban, that was the problem. A Jew can be wealthy in a foreign land, and if he's wealthy, it doesn't necessarily bother anybody. When they see it, because here are my flocks, I need all of this area, you can't hide your flocks, you can't hide all of your servants. When it became visible to all of the plishtim, so much so that he had more than Avimelech himself, that became the problem, as we'll see in a few moments. It's a Jew being wealthy in the exile is not a problem. A Jew flaunting his wealth that he has more than his non-Jewish neighbors, than his hosts in the exile, always becomes a problem. Vayikanu oso plishtim. That's when the plishtim began to be jealous of him. And then what happens? V'chol habe'eros asher chafru avdei aviv v'imei Avraham aviv. All of those wells that had been dug by Avraham's servants in the days when Avraham was with the plishtim and Avimelech. Sitzmum plishtim vayimal umafar. They sealed them and filled them with earth. It's an interesting thing. You know, points I saw a beautiful comment from Sivan Rav Meir. She writes, what a strange thing. Who's hurt when you seal up wells? You live in a land, you need water, and you seal them up. Who's hurt by that? The population is hurt. You just took out of the circulation water which is needed for everybody, and they said, Avram dug these, and now his son Yitzhak is here. Seal them up. Fill them with dirt. You sometimes see, and you could see in the way that she was making this comment in what was going on in the land of modern day land of Israel over the last couple of years, when a group, you know, this like who owns, there's always a fight over the land. There's always been a fight over the land. And she referenced the story of Shlomo HaMelech and the two women who come in, both claiming that the baby that's alive, two women had babies and one baby died, and then they both come in claiming that the live baby is theirs. So Shlomo HaMelech says, no problem. Take out a sword, we'll cut the baby in half, and you both can have it. So one woman says, great, we'll both have half. And the other woman says, no, keep the baby alive, I don't want to have that happen. So Shlomo HaMelech in his wisdom understood, obviously the woman who's not willing to have that happen is the mother of the child, that can't be. The other woman, when you're angry, hurts, upset, and you're willing to have anything, even at your own suffering, but if it's yours, you can't allow something else to suffer. It's my thing, I can't allow my child to suffer like that. So the Plishtim are willing to have their own land go to ruin, not just the modern-day, the Plishtim of the days of Avram and Yitzchak, but the modern-day Plishtim, will sabotage the land just so that someone else can have it. Those who truly feel in possession of this is ours just want the land to flourish. That's the most important, like protect it. And you see here this trait of the Plishtim are so jealous right now of Yitzchak, again, as a Masa of Osim and Labanim, they're willing to do harm to their own land and their own people, just that Yitzhak and Avram shouldn't have a claim and shouldn't have anything here to say. What then happens as the story goes on? We're moving quickly through it. Vayomer Avimelech then says, Lech Meimanu. The same king who a few psukim before said, issues an edict to all of his people, don't touch this man. But now that man became too powerful. That man became too wealthy. He arouses the jealousy of the people, and Avimelech then comes and says, it's time for you to leave. You were here, and we had a nice time together. Here's the door. Ki atzamta mimenu ma'o, you've become too big and too powerful. It's time to leave. Vayelech misham Yitzchak. So what happens? Again, as we'll see throughout Jewish history, so we come, we go, we're welcomed, we're protected, we become wealthy, and we leave. Yitzchak leaves from Gerar. And he goes to a new place called Nachal Grar in the wadi, the valley, and he lives there instead. What does he do while he's there? He begins to dig. He finds in Nachal Grar more wells that his father had dug, that again the Plishtim had sealed up after his father had died. And now he reopens the wells that his father had dug. And he calls him by the same name as the names that his father had called all of them. Again, this idea of following in the footsteps of his father while he's becoming his own person, he maintains this mesora, so to speak. His father called him, he uncovers all of these wells and renames them based on the names of his father. Torah describes at length about the story of the wells. There's much to discuss here. We're just going to skim through the top of that. He finds new wells. So he uncovers the old wells of his fathers, and they find new wells. And then the shepherds of that area begin to fight with him over the new wells of water that he finds, and they call it Asek. They name it Asek because they fought with him over it. I want to throw in here the Ramban's second, and we're going to go back to his first. This is the second instance of Maisa Avosim and Labanim, but let's jump in a little bit out of order. Why is the Torah telling us about the wells and the names? Why is it relevant what he called it? So the Ramban says this well that he finds is portending the future of the first Beis HaMikdash. The well, the Mayim Chaim, the source of life, is represented in the digging and the finding of the well, but it was filled with contention. It was a lot of fighting until eventually it was destroyed by the Babylonians, and therefore this first well is a reference to the first Beis HaMikdash. Vayachru be'er acheres. So they dug a second well and they fought over that as well, and they called it Sitna, which comes from the language of hatefulness. And to fight over that as well. The Ramban says that's a reference to the second Beis HaMikdash, which had even more fighting than the first. In the first Beis HaMikdash, at least the Jews got along until the Babylonians came and destroyed it. The second Beis HaMikdash was filled, the whole Second Temple period was filled with infighting in many, many different ways. The Hanukkah story, of course, takes place during the second Beis HaMikdash as well. And so this well was referred to as a reference to the second Beis HaMikdash. And then by Take Misham, because of the fighting that took place in the second well, they left from there and they dug a third well, Velo Ravu Aleha. And on that one, there was no fighting, and that was called Rechovot. Rechovot L'Rochav, to expand and extend. Vayomer, and Yitzchak said, Ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu farinu ba'aretz. Now Hashem has given us ample space. Now we will expand in the land. And that language, the Ramban says, is a language of the third Beis HaMikdash, which will not have fighting, which will allow us to expand in the land, to be paru urevu, to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase in the land. And that is from the language of Rechovot. There's much to discuss on those three wells. I'm just briefly mentioning that the fact that the Ramban highlights that the Torah tells us these three different instances of digging the wells and the names, and the first two have negative names of fighting and quarreling, refer to the first two Batei Mikdash, and then the third one, Rechovot, which of course is a modern city in Israel called Rechovot, to expand, to increase, to have ample space, is a reference to the Mirtz Hashem third Beis HaMikdash, which will be rebuilt. And there we will have, as he makes the statement, Ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu farinu bar. Hashem has granted us space, and we'll vayal misham be'er sheva. And then from there he goes to Be'er Sheva. Moving along quickly, just to see the whole picture, so we can go back to the starting point of the first thing that the Ramban has to comment on. Vayirola Hashem balaylu. Hashem then appears to him and says, Anochi Elokei Avram Avicha Al Tira Ki Itcha Anochi, I'll be with you, I will bless you, I will increase your children because of, for the sake of my servant Avram. Yitzchak builds a Mizbeach, and Vayichru Sham Avdei Yitzchak, they make another well. And then what happens? Avimelech Halach Elav Migrar. Look who shows up. Avimelech comes to Yitzchak, where he is, together with Pichol Sar Tzivao, with his Achuzas Merei, his counselor. And now again, we ran through this to be able to see the whole picture. Yitzchak first goes to Avimelech for a little pause on his way down to Mitzrayim. Hashem says to him, you know what, you can't go down to Mitzrayim, you're not allowed to leave, stay here. Avimelech is upset at him for lying about that Rivka was really his wife when she said it was his sister, but then he protects him. Then Yitzchak becomes too strong, and Avimelech kicks him out. And Yitzchak leaves. He goes to the next place, digs a bunch of wells, sits down, and look who shows up. Avimelech comes together with his chief of staff. Yitzchak asks him the obvious question, Madua Basam Eli, what are you doing over here? Atem Sinesimosi, you hated me. Vatishal Chuni made, I became too strong and too powerful. You kicked me out. What are you doing here now? So they say, you know what? We realize something, they say. We realize you've been pretty successful. Everywhere you go, you're doing well. Hashem is clearly with you. We don't want to be on your bad side, they say. Tihina Allah beinosenu beinenu veinecha. Let there be an oath between you and between us. We'll make a bris. Yes, we kicked you out. Yes, we didn't want you. But now that you're getting more powerful, we don't want to be enemies with you. So let's make a pact between us. Im taseimonu ra'a. Listen, we didn't hurt you. At the end of the day, nobody abducted your wife. Nobody caused you any physical pain. It's true, we kicked you out. But listen, we didn't hurt you in any way. So just like we didn't... And v'asinu im charachtov. All we did is good to you. We sent you off in peace. Let us make a pact that you will not do anything to us, And Vayaslam Mishte, Vayochlu, Vayishtu, they do, they make a feast, they eat together, they drink together, as is the way of parties that make a peace pact together. They wake up in the morning, they swear to each other that they'll uphold their oath, and Vayishalchem Yitzchak, and so Yitzchak then sends them back home. One, two, few last psukim, two more, they dig. They come to Yitzchak with news. We found another well. The theme obviously repeats itself over and over again. The idea of finding water, source of blessing, the source of life. Torah is compared to Mayim. So that after this peace treaty with Avimelech, they come and they say, we found this water. And they, Vayikro, so Shiva. And that's the name of the city, Be'er Sheva Ad Hayom Hazeh. Okay, and then after there, Esav is, we're told that he marries and was a source of pain and suffering to Agmas Nefesh, to Yitzchak, and that's the story then of the blessing. So we have this in between the opening story of the birth of Yitzchak, of Avram, and, excuse me, of Yaakov and Esav, and the selling of the birthright, and then the end of the parsha is the giving of the brach of Yitzchak. This is really the only episode of Yitzchak's life that we really know very much about. Is this episode, this parak that we just learned, in which he leaves his home because of a famine, stops off at Avimelech, and as we just learned, everything that continued. What do we take from all of it? Okay, so he went to Avimelech, and he was, Hashem told him not to leave, and then he stayed, and he told about his wife, and what value is this told to us in such great detail, this episode of Yitzchak's life? So the Ramban says this is another episode of Ma'aseh Avosim and Libanim. We learn a lot from this episode. And what the Ramban sees in this is a telling of what's going to happen in the days of the first exile of the Jewish people during Golus Bavel. Bavel, the Babylonians, destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, and they sent us into exile. And we see in this story episodes of that which will take place. And again, we'll go through them now again as the Ramban does. And as we saw, really lessons throughout all of Jewish history as we handle the exile. And the Ramban says as follows. What happened when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which is representative of the famine? The famine is what happened in Yitzchak's day, and he needed to leave. That's comparable to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You need to leave. There's ruin. There's nothing here. There's no ability to live. So where does Yitzchak go? He went to Avimelech. Why did he go to Avimelech? Because he had roots there. Avram had already been there prior. And so he went back to a place that he was familiar with, hoping that they would be able to take care of him. So too says the Ramban, the Jews went to Bavel. Bavel was a place with the same place as Or Kazdim. That's where Avram already had been prior. There was Jewish roots already in Babylonia. Some of the Jews already had been exiled there even before the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash 11 years prior. The first group of Jews went there. They went to a place where they already had roots. And what did they find there when they were there? They were protected by the Babylonians. Just like Avimelech issues an edict to his people and says, do not touch this man and his wife. You are not allowed to. They're under government protection. So too says the Ramban, when the Jews originally arrive in Bavel, they are given government protection. What then happens when they're given government protection? The same thing that happens to Yitzchak in Gerar. He plants, and he's blessed by Hashem with prosperity. And once the Jews are given government prosperity, what happens? They do well. They become high-ranking officials. We find in Sefer Daniel, and throughout that exile period, the Jews became a powerful lobby. Powerful governmental lobby, powerful economic lobby. They made it. And what happens after the Jews make it in exile with government protection? Same story over and over again. Ki atzamta mimenu me'o. You became too powerful. You were welcomed in, and then you become too powerful. And you become too powerful in what way? In an obvious way, in a flashy way, where everybody knows how much you have because you're wearing it on your sleeve. It's in the house, the car, the clothing. There it is. It's the cattle. It's not just in the bank account. Okay, a person has money. They live comfortably. Nobody needs to know. When everybody needs to know, the same pattern, as soon as that happened, Avimelech says, too much. You're out. And he kicks them out. That's what happened with the Babylonian experience, says the Ramban, and it plays itself out with the rebuilding and the return home. Originally, we were protected, and we did very well, and we were given permission by the Babylonians to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. But then, they turned on us, in the same way as Avimelech turns on us, the Babylonians did, and they stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash, as is described, say, for Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, for many days. Even as we already had started rebuilding, the source of our power to rebuild turned on us and prevented us. And then, just like Avimelech shows up and reverses course again and says, let's make a peace treaty, so too the Babylonians eventually reversed course and gave us permission to finish, and not just gave us permission to finish, but said, we want you now to bring Karbanos on our behalf. You build this Beis HaMikdash that will be a place for all of us. In the same way as Avimelech then goes to Yitzchak and says, you know what? You're going to become a powerful person. I see you're blessed by Hashem. I don't want to be on your bad side. I want a peace pact between us. That is the peace treaty that the Babylonians then make. Melech Bavel says to the Jews, rebuild this Beis HaMikdash. Bring your Karbanos, but do them for us also. We need to be on your good side, on Hashem's good side. And they make the claim of, we only treated you well all these years. We didn't do anything to you. As the nations of the world will say, I mean, we were great hosts all of those years. We never really did anything. Now, we come to you and say, you build that Beis HaMikdash and bring for us to protect us as well. Yitzchak accepts. They eat, they drink together, and then Yitzchak sends them home. Go back to where you came. We're going to be here with our wells of water that we have found. And it's at that time his servants come and say, we found new water. They name the place Be'er Sheva, and that's the end of the story as he lives out the rest of his days there. All of that, says Ramban, is what's going to take place in Bavel. He does not say, so I'm not putting this in his mouth, the Ramban, is that this pattern is a pattern that repeats itself. It clearly repeated itself during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash and its destruction and rebuilding the second. And we see it in our own days as Maisa Avos, Simin Labanim, the same process of being exiled, going to a home, being welcomed by the home, once we receive the government permission, becoming successful. If it becomes too successful, getting kicked out, and which will, God willing, now we already see we have a place to go when we get kicked out. It used to just be from one place to another place to another place. Now already we have a home in Eretz Yisrael. Nearly half of world Jewry is back home. And then to see where the nations of the world who kicked us out will then come to us. They will show up with their chief of officer to say, we need to have a peace treaty, and we want you to bring Karbanos on our behalf because you are powerful and successful and Hashem is with you, and we don't want to be on the wrong side of that. So we're playing it out as it's been played out before in history. So the Ramban sees these ideas, the many lessons of this episode of Yitzchak and Rivka and Avimelech, where he was protected and nobody abducted his wife, but he was eventually kicked out. And as all the story goes through, as an example, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, we see these things, again, the three names of the wells of the first and second and third Beis HaMikdash, as well in many different episodes of this. So that's that. Just wanted to share a few of the lessons that we learn as we go through this particular perek, the story of Yitzchak and Avimelech, leading into, of course, the end of the parasha, the bracha that he gives to what he wanted to give to Esau, which he ends up giving, of course, to Yaakov. But it's worth spending some time on that middle story, which so often we don't spend so much time on. I thank again Kolo Torah Mitzion for the opportunity to learn with you, and look forward to the next time. I think it's next week, even if I remember, it's 2 weeks in a row. Next Wednesday, okay, looking forward, and we'll continue the story. So have a wonderful day, everyone.